This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
No Second Trial by Michael Silver. Newsroom, Cowdrey speaking.
Jack, hold up the second edition. You've got a nice juicy murder to play around with.
Murder?
That's right, in the height of the silly season, too. No parliament, no royal garden parties, nothing. Even the United Nations has gone into recess. And who helps you out? Your favorite crime reporter, Bob Palmer.
All right, stop making with the talk. What have you got?
Dance hostess found strangled less than a quarter of an hour ago in the arcade of Harvey and Watson's Piccadilly.
Great, we'll make the late edition. Miss Reachdale, the crime reporter's on the line. Get ready to type. At approximately 1:50 this morning, Police Constable Watson was on his way to Vine Street Police Station to report off duty. As he entered the arcade belonging to Harvey's, the departmental store, Watson saw in the semi-darkness the body of a sleeping woman. It was only when the constable used his torch he realized the woman was dead. She had been strangled. The arcade serves as a passageway between Regent Street and Piccadilly, but is little frequented after midnight. Lying near the victim was an expensive fur and a crocodile handbag, containing, among other things, a driving license made out in the name of Star Reynolds. The constable blew his whistle, and within a matter of seconds, Scotland Yard was alerted.
Get in. Busy?
Busy, he asks me. Why aren't you out tracking the killer?
Well, anything new?
He just came from the mortuary. Important kid. Recognized us from the Gargoyle Club. Sang with the orchestra. Being Saturday, the band finished at midnight. A friend say the girl used to cut through the arcade to catch the last 19 bus to Fulham.
Doesn't seem possible. Piccadilly, the crossroads of the world, teeming with nocturnal revelers.
Okay, Chief. If that's the way you want me to write it. The killer in our midst.
What have you learned at Scotland Yard?
Nothing much. They don't like crime reporters lounging around at the start of a murder investigation. I'll tell you this, though. She was a nice kid. Not the sort of female one associates with Piccadilly in the early hours of the morning.
But that can't be her real name, Star Reynolds.
No, of course not. It's her show business name. The police are trying to trace her next of kin. She's been living alone for over 6 years, and no signs of assault other than the marks of strangulation. Seems so senseless.
Well, let's forget the why, and let's concentrate on the who. Now, this is what you do, Bob. Run a series of articles on the Who Killed Star Reynolds theme. Then suggest that there must be something wrong with the Metropolitan Police Force if innocent women can't walk through the streets of London without the fear of death or worse. You know.
Yes, I know. Our great warm-hearted public like a nice hate campaign. But the girl was murdered less than 2 days ago.
So what? This is the sixth killing this month.
I hate to mention it, Chief, but all the other killers were found. You can't expect me to write a story suggesting there's a modern Jack the Ripper lurking somewhere. Besides, Inspector Barclay is in charge of the case, and he's a friend of mine. What about that tip-off he gave us about the Majestic safe deposit vaults were robbed?
You know the answer to that one. You said it yourself. Parliament isn't sitting. The Vietnam War's been going on for so long it's become boring. There hasn't even been a student riot for... Oh, now, stop arguing and write that story. And don't forget, we demand that the police look to their efficiency. We demand protection for our wives and daughters and all the other malarkey.
Okay. Let's hope they don't find the murderer too soon. We don't want the campaign to end before it gets underway. Has Chicago Come to London? By crime reporter Bob Palmer. It is now 6 days since Star Reynolds drew her last agonized, tortured breath as the killer's hands tightened relentlessly around the girl's throat. Has London taken over the reputation of Chicago? Cannot our decent, law-abiding citizens roam the streets without... Newsroom?
Commissioner, yes, sir. Is that Mr. Palmer?
Yes, old boy.
Well, sir, look, I can't speak too loudly because he's standing by the door, but we've got a real nutcase here, sir.
Nutcase? What do you mean?
Well, sir, he's got a copy of the newspaper in his hand, and he pointed to your article and said, I want to speak to your crime reporter. And I said to him, well, what's it all about then? And he said, he can stop writing his articles because I'm the one who killed Star Reynolds. So I thought I'd better tell you, sir.
What?
Well, I know he's just another of those nuts, sir, but I thought you might want to see him.
Well, of course he's a nut. Wondrous glamour of the press. But it might make a news story. Okay, bring him up.
Right, sir, right away.
Hey, Millie, get hold of a cameraman. There's a nut coming up. Wants his moment of glory, confessing to a murder he didn't commit.
Right, Bob. But do you think we ought
to... No, don't let's think, my sweet. We'll take this story and hand him over to the mental home if he looks fierce. Or just send him away if he's just plain lost, lonely or psycho. On your way, girl.
Yes, sir.
Oh!
Sorry.
Is Mr. Palmer there?
Go through.
Well, this way, if you don't mind, sir. Oh, there you are, Mr. Palmer.
Oh, thanks, Rogers. You may go.
Oh, right, sir. Oh.
Sit down, would you?
I'm not mad, if that's what you think.
Mad? Who said anything about anyone being mad? Well, come on, make yourself comfortable. That's better. Cigarette?
No, thank you. The commissionaire thinks I'm mad. You think I'm mad. Perhaps I am. Perhaps that's why I killed him.
Now, just a minute. You know, it's a funny thing, but every time I get a pencil from the store, someone whips it. Here we are. No, old chap, can I have your name? I mean, you're sure you can...
I know exactly what I'm doing. My name's Henry Tapsell. I've come to you because of those articles you wrote about a mysterious killer. It's the first time I've ever lifted my hand to anyone in my life. I don't know why I did it. I don't know. My hands were around her throat.
Have you ever had your name in the newspapers before?
Me? No, of course not.
Have you ever written letters to the editor?
Look here, Mr. Palmer, I thought you'd be grateful. I'm giving you... What's he called? A scoop. Instead of which you ask me silly questions about writing to newspapers.
Bob, Fred's out in the story. Do you want me to...
No. Go away. I'm sorry, Millie. Leave it for the moment, will you? Close the door.
Oh. It's all right.
Sorry for the interruption. I'm sorry if I seem to be asking silly questions, but it's not every day that someone walks into a newspaper office and says to a crime reporter, I'm the murderer.
No, I don't suppose it is, but... And I wish you wouldn't use the word murderer.
But you yourself...
Yes. Yeah, I killed Star Reynolds. But I'm not a murderer. I won't say I didn't mean to do it, because that isn't true. I wanted her dead. When I had my hands around her throat, I hated her, do you hear? I hated her, and I wanted to kill her.
And why have you come to tell me this?
Because I can't live with her anymore. Not alone. Not by myself, I mean. I had to tell someone... You don't believe me, do you? You think I'm mad.
Tell me, Mr... Tapsell. Why me? Why have you come to confess to me? Just because I wrote about it. So did the other newspapers.
I can't answer that. I knew I'd have to give myself up sooner or later. I've never been involved with the police before. Well, you read in books about men walking into a police station and saying, arrest me, I've committed a crime. I couldn't. But I haven't the courage... I read your article this morning and I thought it'd be easier this way. Does that make sense to you, or do you still think I'm mad?
You know, Mr. Tapsell, there are a number of people who confess to crimes they didn't commit, just for the publicity, or to feel important, or a neurotic desire to draw attention to them.
Yeah, I see I'm wasting my time. I suppose I'll have to go to the police.
No, I'm only trying to protect myself. You'll be surprised the number of people who come into newspaper offices every day. I believe you, Mr. Tapsell. Why did you kill her?
I don't know. Yes, I do. I hated her.
And I'm writing all this down. It'll appear in tomorrow's edition. Do you mind?
What do I care what you write? Aren't you going to ring the police? That's why I came to you. Don't you understand? I want you
to... Yes, I understand. Why did you hate Star Reynolds? Had you known her long?
Long? I've never seen her before in my life.
Yet you say you hated her.
Are you going to turn me over to the police, or aren't you?
Yes, of course. I'd like to get some background material first.
You can get that when the police come.
Well, as you say.
Hello?
I want you to get through to Vine Street Police Station and ask for Inspector Barclay. It's very urgent indeed. Keep Mr. Cardew informed.
Right.
Oh, and another thing. I need a cameraman to come up here as soon as possible. See what you can do.
Okay.
I'm mad at Mr. Tapsell.
No. Would I go around strangling women if I was married?
Have you strangled more than one woman?
You're trying to be funny.
No, I'm sure you are not. You talked about going round strangling women.
It's a figure of speech.
Yes. Yes?
Inspector Barclay on the phone. Mr. Cardew's listening in.
Oh, good. Hello, Inspector Barclay.
Hello, Mr. Palmer. I got a message to say you wanted me urgently.
Yes, Inspector. I have someone here, Mr. Henry Tapsell. He wants to confess.
Confess? Confess what?
To killing Star Reynolds.
What is this? Newspaper stunt? Because if
it is... No, Inspector, I promise you. I advise you to come over.
All right. But I warn you, if this is another psychopath seeking cheap publicity or a stunt, you'll live to regret it.
Perhaps you'd like to talk to Mr. Tapsell.
Why not? Put him on.
All right. Inspector, I'd like a word with you.
No. No, I wouldn't know what to say to him.
He can't bite your head off over the telephone. You'll have to talk to him sometime. Now, go on, talk.
All right. Hello?
I understand your name is Henry Tapsell. You are volunteering some information concerning the death of Star Reynolds.
I killed her. I strangled her.
I see, Mr. Tapsell. Would you please just wait in Mr. Palmer's office? We'll be right over.
All right.
Could you put Mr. Palmer back on the line?
He wants to talk to you.
Thanks. Yes, Inspector?
Can he hear me?
No.
What do you think?
Look, Inspector, I don't want to be inhospitable to Mr. Tapsell, and I've got a story to get out. And the sooner you come over, the better for all concerned. Goodbye. And he won't be long.
I'm afraid. Suppose I'd better get myself a lawyer.
Yes, I suppose you had. How are you off, financially, I mean?
What's all this I heard about?
Oh, good evening. This is our news editor, Jack Cardew, Mr. Henry Tapsell. We are waiting for Inspector Barclay.
Yes, so I understand. Now, Mr. Tapsell, I don't know how you're fixed financially, but you're going to need help.
Help?
All right, so you strangled the girl and you want to confess. I'm sure you didn't mean to.
Mean it?
Well, what I'm trying to say is this. We'll provide you with the best defense counsel money can buy. Now, all you have to do is to promise to give us an exclusive story. You've got to promise not to talk to any newspapers other than this one.
Once Inspector Barclay gets here, he won't have the opportunity.
You leave this to me. Are you prepared to sign a series of articles while you're awaiting trial? Of course, they'll have to appear under your signature. You know, I did not mean to kill by Henry Tapsell, that sort of thing. You are confessing to the murder, aren't you?
Yes.
Good. We can do an article on your home background, how it led you to... did you have an overpossessive mother?
I was brought up in an orphanage.
Oh, better still, better still. Bob, I want you to see that Mr. Tapsell gets £100 straight away. He'll need some small change.
Right, Chief.
Inspector Barclay.
Hello, Inspector. Here's your man.
You say your name is Henry Tapsell?
Yes.
And you're here to confess to the crime of the murder of the young woman known as Star Reynolds?
Yeah. You see,
I'm taking you into custody. And I must warn you that anything you might say will be taken down and may be used in evidence against you.
My lord, gentlemen of the jury, it is common cause that on the 21st of June, in the early hours of the morning, 26-year-old Star Reynolds, a decent, law-abiding young lady, was found dead. The body was still warm, and there was little doubt that the unfortunate young lady had been murdered within a matter of minutes of the discovery. Now, despite a most intensive investigation by the police, the identity of the perpetrator of this foul and abominable deed was not revealed. Now, you may think it strange that it should be possible for someone to assault and kill in the very heart of a London metropolis. Yet the murder was committed in an arcade which, although it links Regent Street with Piccadilly, an area known as the heart of the universe, is seldom used after midnight. Now, the Crown states quite frankly, and I think the police authorities would concur, that had the murderer himself not confessed to the crime, it might have taken months before the culprit was found and apprehended. That eventually the prisoner at the bar came forward and confessed to this atrocious crime cannot and should not be a mitigating point in his favor. Henry Tapsell has confessed to killing Star Reynolds, who was a complete stranger to him. The Crown asks, nay, demands, my lord, gentlemen of the jury, that this man pays the full penalty for his crime. I now call Inspector Nigel Barclay. Inspector Barclay, I understand that you were at the scene of the crime within minutes of Constable Watson discovering the body.
Yes. I got the call at Vine Street at 1:50 in the morning. I went to the arcade accompanied by Police Surgeon Jackson. After inspecting the body and the surrounding area, the corpse was removed to the police mortuary.
Were you able to establish any sort of motive for the murder?
No, none whatsoever. We questioned everyone concerned at the Gargoyle Club, and we were reasonably certain that Miss Reynolds had not been robbed. And equally, our police surgeon was of the opinion that the girl must have been attacked from behind and strangled.
You could find no motive, neither psychological or mercenary?
No motive at all. We were stumped. Although the young lady was known as Star Reynolds, that was her professional name as a singer with a dance band. However, between the time she was found dead and the confession of the accused, we'd not been able to trace her family nor her next of kin. All we know is that she arrived in this country on a British passport from India. She was a young widow and that her employers and her landlady held her in the highest esteem. However, Mr. Robert Palmer and I, accompanied by two police sergeants, went to the editorial offices of the Evening Courier, where Tapsell had gone to make his confession. The prisoner was duly warned and charged.
Have you his statement here in court?
Yes, sir, I have. He said, my name is Henry Tapsell. I live at the Daybrook boarding house.
39 Hamsworth Avenue, Clapham Common. At about 11:45 on the 21st of June, I was strolling along Regent Street and decided to walk through Harvey's Arcade. In front of me was a young woman. I called after her, and she began to walk faster. Then some evil spirit took possession of me. I ran after her, caught her, and pressed my hands around her throat. She went limp and fell to the ground. She was dead. I don't know why I wanted her to die, but I had to kill her. I've read this statement over, and it is
exactly as I have dictated it. It's duly signed by the prisoner and witnessed by myself and Sergeant Baxter.
Thank you, Inspector. That is all.
Thank you, sir.
You know, Inspector, my client has pleaded not guilty, because although he has confessed fully and frankly, we shall endeavor to prove diminished responsibility because of his mental state at the time.
He was examined by Professor Henderson, the Home Office alienist. The report says that there is no question as to the prisoner's sanity.
I didn't ask you to pass expert opinion on my client's mental state, Inspector. We are not putting forward a plea of insanity. It is our case that Tapsell acted on a strange impulse
Lord,
that was...
I want to put a stop to this, boss. I never saw the woman in my life. I didn't kill her. And I wish to withdraw my confession. I never killed her. No one can prove that I did.
I pray the indulgence of this court. In view of Henry Tapsell's surprising outburst, I seek an adjournment so that I might consult with him.
So you see, members of the jury, that the entire case for the Crown rests upon the confession voluntarily vouchsafed by the prisoner. It is not for you to attempt to seek motive for his reprehensible conduct in creating such a public mischief. The papers relating to this trial will be forwarded to the public prosecutor for him to take suitable action. My duty is to direct you as to your actions in view of this new and startling development. You can do no other but render a verdict of not guilty.
But this is nonsense, I tell you, Inspector. That man is as guilty as all get out.
If you're right, there's nothing any of us can do about it now.
Oh, yes, there is.
Now, you take it easy. You know the law as well as I do. Even if you did kill the girl, you couldn't charge him again.
No person can be tried for the same crime twice. Whatever evidence might come up later, yes, I know all that. But what about you? How do you feel about all this?
Feel? You ask me that after wasting time and money? You of all people.
Me? Why me?
Oh, I should have known better. As if anyone could commit a murder and walk into a newspaper office to confess. A police station, yes. I should have realized that he went to see you because he was just another neurotic publicity-seeking nut. Oh, well. We'll go on looking for the real murderer. We'll find him yet.
If you take my advice, you won't let that swine out of your sight. A man that kills an innocent girl who he's never met before.
He didn't. We haven't a shred of evidence that he did kill the girl. What's more, he's now provided us with a cast-iron alibi. You know that.
I know nothing of the sort. His landlady says he returned to the boarding house at 11 o'clock, said good night, and he was going to go to bed. It's less than 10 minutes from Clapham Common to Piccadilly on the Underground.
Nobody saw him.
Oh, come off it, Inspector. 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. Who would notice a nondescript-looking character like that?
You believe he confessed because he wanted publicity.
What other explanation can there be?
The jury's verdict. That's my explanation. He's nutty, all right. Not the way you think. I was the first person to whom he made his confession. There's an icy cold logic about this, Tapsell. He banked on you not doing your homework.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then I'll tell you. Had he not confessed, there was always the possibility the CID would catch up with him.
That is, if he committed the crime.
Supposing he did strangle that girl.
Yes,
No. Hear me out for a moment. Supposing by some miraculous chance, evidence is produced proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that Henry Tapsell did kill Star Reynolds. What would you do about it?
There's nothing I can do now. You're talking nonsense.
Am I? There's nothing you can do now. This psychopathic killer has outwitted us all. This is the perfect crime, all right. You kill your victim, confess to the crime, get yourself charged with murder, withdraw the confession during the trial, forcing the jury to find you not guilty.
Ah, balderdash. I can understand you being angry at Tapsell taking you for a ride. How much did it cost your newspaper?
Let me ask you something. Are you going to close the file on the mystery of the murder of Star Reynolds?
No, of course not.
What happens if your investigations lead you to Tapsell? You can't do anything about it, can you?
Now, look, old boy. You tried to do us a good turn, and I'm grateful. I don't want to be rude, but I've got a lot of work to do.
All right. All right, I'm going. But I'll tell you this, Inspector Barclay. You better put a tail on that man. The type that goes around killing a young woman he's never met in his life before is likely to kill again.
Look at it, Bob. This has just come in from Neville. Public prosecutor decides not to proceed against Henry Tapsell on a charge of causing a public mischief. Now, what does this make us? What about that story we ran? The boy who never had a mother. The smoldering resentment against being left in a wicker basket outside a church. The ever-growing hate against all women culminating in the murder of Star Reynolds.
A good story. What's got into you, Chief?
Are you crazy? Right up until the trial, we ran banner headlines. Background to murder. Why Tapsell had to kill. Exclusive to Evening Courier. And all the time, the joke was on us. £2,000 we paid him.
Think what it did to the circulation.
Circulation? What do you think it's done to my reputation as a news editor? And you're to blame.
Now, wait a minute.
You convinced us all that he was telling the truth.
He was telling the truth. Henry Tapsell is a psychopathic killer.
Oh, stop that nonsense, Bob. He's a psychopathic publicity seeker. The least they could have done would be put him in prison for sending us all up the garden path.
Look, what do you want? Do you want my resignation? All right, you've got
now,
it.
Now, wait a minute, Bob. Take it easy. No one's blaming you. At least not much.
Well, thanks for that anyway.
There's a lead come in about Ronnie the Carver. Looks as though the Razor Boys are at it again. Going to cover it?
Oh, what a funny bloke you are, Jack. Okay, I withdraw my resignation. I'll attend to Ronnie the Carver. But first, I need a drink.
Evening, Mr. Palmer. Usual?
Yes, please.
Don't look round now, sir, but that bloke over there, sitting with that young lady... Isn't he the one who was had up for murdering Star Reynolds?
What? Where? Well, I'll have the drink over there.
Well, look who's here. Come and join us for a drink.
Yes, I've ordered mine. I didn't expect to see you here, Millie.
Well, why not? My private life's my own. Or don't you approve of young ladies drinking in pubs?
Don't be silly. Just a little surprised at... Oh, how do you two know each other?
I wrote to Mr. Tapsell.
What?
Well, I asked you what we could do with those pictures of Mr. Tapsell taken at his trial outside the court. You said I could do what I liked with them. So I wrote to Mr. Tapsell and asked him if he'd like to have them.
Now, look here, Millie. If the editor hears about this, he'll boil you in oil.
Oh, yeah, they are. You can have them back if that's your attitude.
Your drink's coming over. Why don't you sit down and relax?
Here's a drink, sir.
Thank you. Here you are.
No. Now, this one's on me.
I don't get you, Henry Tapsell. I don't get you at all.
Don't look around now, but our friend is waiting to be paid.
Sorry. Here you are. Give me change.
Thank you very much, sir. Here.
Now, what don't you get? Bob?
You made a fool of the law, a fool of the police. You got £2,000 for a series of articles that weren't worth tuppence if you didn't commit the murder. And most important of all, you've made a fool of me.
How can you say that, Bob? The way Mr. Tapsell withdrew his confession suddenly, it's the most fabulous story we've ever printed.
Do you think so? Charming. How do you think I look in the eyes of Jack Cardew?
Oh, you don't worry about that, do you?
Would you like me to tell you what I'm really worried about, Tapsell?
Hey, look. I've called you Bob.
Why don't you call me?
What
Henry.
Really worries me, Henry Tapsell, is the fact there are only two people in the whole wide world now living who are convinced that you killed Star Reynolds. You and me.
Bob.
You see, Miss Gurney, here's a frustrated journalist. He's disappointed that I've not been convicted. Had I paid the penalty for a crime I didn't commit, he'd have been able to write a lot of nonsense. The Confessions of Henry Tapsell. I suppose you'd have written about how I wept on your shoulder and was cruel to cats when I was a boy.
Do you want to know something else? I'm a little worried about Millicent Gurney here. I'm a little worried that you might start getting itchy fingers again, Henry Tapsell. Millie has a nice swan-like neck, hasn't she?
Oh, stop it, Bob. You've gone too far.
Mr. Palmer, I didn't invite you over here. You walked over. I was prepared to be pleasant. I bought you a drink.
Ah, so you did. You paid for my drink. Here. You can grin that psychopathic smirk of yours. But if there's any justice left in the world, you'll get your desserts yet. I can only pray that I'm there to see it.
Here's the pool on the editorial you asked for.
Oh, thank you. Well, why don't you say it?
Oh, look, Bob, let's forget it.
No, I'm sorry, I really am. Your private life is your own, as you correctly pointed out. I did blow my top. I was so shocked to see you two together. You're a nice kid, Millie.
Really, Bob Palmer?
No, it's not funny. I'm a happily married man with three delightful children, as you well know, but seeing you sitting there laughing and drinking with a man who strangled a girl no much older than you...
Look, let's leave it, shall we? You've got a bee in your bonnet. He was pretty smart. Confesses to a murder, becomes famous overnight.
Famous?
Well, all right, infamous. Gets £2,000 out of the Courier. He's a smart cookie, is Henry Tapsell.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
You haven't told me how you two came to be in the pub.
I did tell you. I wrote asking him if he'd like the photographs. He telephoned and I suggested we went for a drink.
You suggested it?
Yes, I did. Don't be so old-fashioned, Bob. It would save me having to post them.
Well, at least you're still alive.
Oh, that's not funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. Once that sort of psychopath breaks through his emotional barrier and kills, he has to do it again and again and again until he's found out.
Oh, really, Bob?
You've given him the pictures. You're not planning to see him again, or are you?
Well, since you've asked, yes. He's taking me to dinner tonight.
Oh, Millie.
Oh, Bob, stop looking like an outraged parent. I'm free, white, and 24. No one's asked me out to dinner in a fortnight. Now, if you weren't married...
But can't you see I'm deadly serious?
Are you afraid for my virtue?
No, Millicent Gurney. I'm afraid for your life.
You're a very persuasive man, Bob Palmer. And that's why you're here. But as I told you over the telephone, I want nothing to do with this man, Tapsell. He's made a fool of us all once, and I don't want it to happen again.
Yes, I know, Inspector. Were I in your shoes, I'd kick me from here to Nicaragua. Oh, thanks for seeing me.
Well, that wasn't your fault. You thought you were doing your duty. But you're not still on the job, are you? I mean, as a crime reporter, Henry Tapsell must be a dead duck as far as you're concerned.
I wish he were. I'd feel the world would be a little safer without him.
What is it, Bob? You asked for the dossier, and you said you've got a vital piece of information. But I warn you before you start, he's been found not guilty, and that's that.
Is it, Inspector? Is it? Supposing I tell you that I can prove that Tapsell left his lodgings again that night after saying goodnight to his landlady.
Are you sure?
Positive. You're not going to take kindly to what I'm going to tell you now. I reasoned that as Tapsell's lodgings were a couple of minutes from Clapham Underground, his quickest way to Piccadilly would be from there. I took a press photograph.
Mind it, old place!
Excuse me. Huh? What time's the next train to Piccadilly Circus?
You stayed on that train, sir. They're taking you there.
Was that the last train?
No, it's now 11:15. No, there are two more. There's one at 11:40 and the other at 12:05, and that's a lot.
You don't get many passengers at this time of night, do you?
Not this side of the station, no. We don't get many people going up to the West End at this hour.
Are you always on night duty?
3 months on, 3 months off. Why do I...
Look,
hey, you're not...
Take a look at this picture.
Huh?
Recognize it?
Ooh, Of course I do. He's that fool who confessed to a murder he didn't commit. Lucky he didn't go to jail, he is. Hey, we use the same pub.
You do?
Oh, I'll say I do. Oh, recognised him as soon as I saw the picture in the paper. Who'd have thought it, I said to my missus. Yeah, this quiet-looking chap, a strangler. And of course, that was before he withdrew his confession. But it's all over now, isn't it? Here, what do you want to know about him?
He did board a train the night this girl was killed, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Now, I was expecting to be called to give evidence, but no one questioned me. I said to my missus, Mother, I said, this chap what confessed, well, they'll say, how did he get to Piccadilly? And he'll say, I caught a quarter past 11 from Clapham. And he'll say, have you any witnesses, eh? I saw myself as being cross-examined by the prosecuting counsel, just like you see on the films. Between you and me, I was sorry the old thing fizzled out.
Are you prepared to swear, after all this time, that you saw Tapsell board the 11:15 to Piccadilly Circus?
Yeah, of course I am. Hey, you don't mean
to tell
me... I'm
trying to forget this conversation until and unless you're questioned by the police.
But aren't you, dear?
Good night. Thank you very much. Well, what do you think of that, Inspector?
I've a good mind to run you in for masquerading as a police officer.
Oh, come off it. I never once pretended to be a member of the force. The fact that he leapt to that conclusion isn't my fault.
Oh, don't you see what you're doing? Can you understand the spot we are in? If this Porter's statement holds up, we know he's a killer and there's nothing we can do about it.
He's done it once and he's got away with it. Maybe twice for all we know. We've got to stop him from killing again. You've got to put a tail on him.
I'm sorry, Bob, I can't. We still don't know that he killed. He may have lied about his alibi because of his confession. That Porter might be mistaken. Bob, don't you see? We can't shadow the man for the rest of his life.
Not for the rest of his life. I pray that ends soon. He's been going around with Millicent Gurney from our newsroom. I'm scared for her sake. How are you going to feel if one morning a flash comes through that this sweet kid has been strangled and you could have stopped it?
All right. I'll put a tail on him. For the time being, anyway.
Mm. Well, thanks, Inspector. Thanks very much.
This is strictly between you and me. If you print as much as a single...
I give you my word. I couldn't run a story on it anyway. Just mention the name Tapsell and my poor editor almost bursts a blood vessel.
Now look at this, Bob. Muswell Green Literary and Debating Society. Could you please let us have the home address of Mr. Henry Tapsell? We would very much like him to lecture our members on the psychological motivation which caused him to confess to a murder he did not commit. Naturally, in our local publicity, we shall give full credit to the Evening Courier for all the assistance you've given this gentleman during his weeks of travail. Our society meets bi-monthly, and we shall be happy to fix a date convenient to Mr. Tapsell. Can you beat it? Anyone else mentions the name Tapsell to me, I shall go stark staring bonkers.
You haven't called me in to show me that.
No, I haven't. Look, Bob, I don't want you to put on another outraged prima donna act, but you haven't turned in a decent story for 3 days. What's more, we've had neither sight nor sound of you since the day before yesterday.
I'm sorry, Jack. I get the message. From now on, I'll be the busiest little bee in the outfit, now that I've persuaded Barclay to take over.
Don't tell me that you're still onto that.
Well, we promised to drop the matter. I hear whispers in certain quarters that Slapsy Hart has started his racket again. If he trespasses into Verotti's territory, the sparks will fly, and I think he will.
Yeah, it's more like the Bob Palmer I know. Get to it.
Aye, aye, Skipper. I need some stuff from the morgue. I'll get Millie Gurney on the job.
You won't, you know.
What? Why? Well, what do you mean?
Nothing, except as she pointed out, she'd a few days coming to her, so she'd gone off with a friend.
Off with a friend? Who? Which friend?
Yeah, what's come over you? Don't tell me you're smitten.
Was she on duty yesterday?
Yes, of course. Now what's the matter?
It's nothing. Nothing. I'd better get back to my desk.
Miss Gurney, you want? Oh, you won't be able to see her till next Monday.
Next Monday?
Well, what's the matter? Is it something urgent?
Yes, I'm afraid it is, brother. Is she away?
She's gone on a motoring holiday to the Lake District. Left this morning about 9:00.
Well, do you know where? Did you leave an address?
Oh, no. I remember you. You're the gentleman from... You're in the Evening Courier, aren't you? Oh, dear, she wanted back at work. Millie told me that her boss gave her a few days off because of all the overtime she put in.
You say motoring holiday. Millie hasn't got a car.
Oh, no. A young gentleman came for a nice young man, too. Face was familiar. Is he on the paper, too?
Did he give his name?
No. But as I was talking to him on the doorstep, Millie put her head out of the window and shouted, "I'm ready, Henry. Look, there isn't anything wrong, is there?"
"No, no, no, thank you. At least, I hope not."
Barclay.
Palmer of the Courier on the line, sir, says it's very urgent.
I put him on.
You're going through. Speak up, please. Now, hello, Inspector. Tapsell, is he being tailed?
What? Now, come off it, old chap. We only talked about it last night. I'll set the ball rolling this morning.
But it may be too late. He's gone off to the Lake District with Millicent Gurney.
Yes, has he? Now, look, it doesn't necessarily follow...
I know, but please, Inspector, he's taken his car. They left about 9 this morning.
What make of car? Do you know the number?
No, but bless you.
I never said. All right. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'll separate them.
I can't thank you enough.
All right, goodbye. Richard?
Sir?
Get through to X Branch. Henry Tapsell, he's driving a car. Find out the make and the colour. Then send out a general warning signal.
Right, sir. Is he to be pulled in?
Yes. No. No, he's believed to be driving northwards, heading for the Lake District. He has a female companion, Millicent Gurney. I want them separated. Tell X Branch to throw the book away. He can be pulled in for dangerous driving, mistaken identity, anything they like. Now, wait a minute. I think I've got the answer. Send out a general call that he's wanted for questioning in relation to the death of Star Reynolds.
Yeah, but sir...
Don't argue! Bring him in. Notify all county constabularies.
Right, sir.
Control calling, control calling. All cars, general warning. Watch out for maroon-coloured 10-horsepower Broderick, number MNY468. Car believed to be travelling from London in a northwesterly direction. Driver believed to be Henry Tapsell, age 28, 5 foot 9 inches in height, fair hair, blue eyes, slightly built. Had slight scar on left cheek. It must be emphasised that this Henry Tapsell is not to be placed under arrest, but is required urgently at Scotland Yard. It is believed that Tapsell has with him a woman companion named Millicent Gurney. Should this car be seen, notify control immediately. Over and out.
Would there be anything else, sir?
No, thanks.
Super lunch. I enjoyed it enormously.
Yeah. Nice, I tell this. Millie?
Yes?
There's no point in driving like mad to try and get to Macclesfield. Why don't we book in here? We can spend the afternoon walking around the city. Tell you what, I'll take you for a row. We can hire boats. I've always wanted to row on the ices. Then we can have a look at one of the colleges.
Now, darling, you did say that we would go as far as Macclesfield tonight. Otherwise, we'll never get to Westmoreland tomorrow night.
Oh, no, my darling. But what's the hurry? We're together. That's all that matters. Do you realise that we've never been alone together once? Not once.
Oh, Henry, how can you say that? We're alone now, aren't we?
Yeah, no, you don't understand. I mean, just the two of us. And no one else. Just you and I together. Alone. All alone.
Henry?
Yeah?
You frighten me.
Frighten you?
When you look like that and the way you spoke.
You're a funny little female. There am I trying to tell you how much I want you all to myself. Away from all these stupid people because I want to hold you in my arms and tell you how much I love you. And you say I'll frighten you. Seems I'll never make a Casanova.
Sorry. It suddenly hit me that I don't really know you, do I? I mean, Henry... Is it really true? Do you want to hold me in your arms?
You know I do. I want to... Let's get out of here.
Oh, no, Henry. Girl likes to be told these things.
Yeah?
Do you really love me that much? Supposing we were alone, Henry. Just you and I.
Yeah.
You would be kind to me, wouldn't you? Kind and gentle.
Shall we stay here? We could book into this hotel. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting anything wrong, but we've only got a few precious days together.
No, let's get back into the car.
Yeah.
I love driving with you. You're such a skillful driver.
Calling squad car 28. Calling squad car 28. Can you hear me, 28? Over.
Hello, control. Squad car 28 reporting. I'm patrolling main road between Leamington and Warwick. Over.
Hello, squad car 28. Watch out for maroon-coloured 10-horsepower Broderick number MNY468. Believed heading in your direction. Driver believed to be Henry Tapsell. Wanted at New Scotland Yard for assistance. Extend every courtesy, but take him to nearest police station. Very important, over.
Hello, control. Message received and understood. Hello, control. A car just passed us. In pursuit. Off.
Look, there it is, Bo. Come on, step on it.
Don't panic, George. We're getting on him rapidly.
Tapsell? Wasn't that the fellow confessed to murdering that girl in London and then withdrew his confession?
Yes, can't be that. Found not guilty. Wonder what they want him for. Extend every courtesy. Means he's not to be arrested. Supposing he doesn't play ball.
We'll have to pull him in for dangerous driving, I suppose.
Here we go. Wave him down. Make him stop.
Right.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Tapsell. Mr. Henry Tapsell.
Yeah? Yeah? What is it? I wasn't speeding.
I wonder if I could have a word with you, sir.
What's it all about?
Oh, if you don't mind, sir.
All right.
I'm sorry to have to pull you up, sir, but I've just had a radio call from our headquarters. It seems they need you back in London, sir. It's most urgent.
Need me back in London? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but that's all we've been told. A message I got was that you're wanted at New Scotland Yard for assistance.
What assistance? What on earth are you talking about? I'm here with my friend. We're on holiday. You're proposing to take me back to London?
Oh, no, sir. I shall take you to Leamington Police Station. No doubt there'll be someone there to drive you to London, sir.
Am I under arrest?
Now, who mentioned arrest?
And supposing I refuse to accompany you?
Then I'm afraid you will be, sir. Under arrest, I mean.
Yeah? What charge?
Jump in!
Yeah, right. Well, I'll be... Come on, after him.
Well, now let us down if they get away.
Well, you should have noticed her sidling over to the driver's
seat. Oh, come off it, Sergeant. I was watching friend Tapsell in case he'd tried something funny. Well, don't worry, we'll get him. We must be mad. They should have catch us.
What did they do? You haven't done anything wrong, Henry. Or have you?
No. No, of course not. I just don't know what they want me for.
Oh, well, they've got to catch you first.
But careful!
Look back. How far away are they?
No, I can't see them. We've just turned the bend. Here, you slow up, Millie. It's no good. We're only making things worse for ourselves.
Oh, Henry, isn't this exciting?
But slow down. Slow down. This is a dangerous road.
With all these rotten corners and bends, you can't see more than about 10 yards in front of you.
Well, what are we going to do when we do catch up with them? Arrest them?
Of course. We've got a perfect excuse now. Failing to obey an officer of the law whilst in the execution of his duty.
Oh, look, there they are. Well, they must be mad going at that speed. What are they trying to do? Trying to commit suicide?
Hey, what are you trying to do? Kill us both? Slow down, I tell you!
Oh, don't be such a crazy cat. You weren't afraid when you killed Star Reynolds?
No.
This is exciting. Was it exciting when you put your fingers round Star Reynolds' neck? Was it as exciting as this?
No. Who are you? What are you trying to do? Slow down! Slow down, all right?
Yes? Yes, Henry, what'll you do?
I'll kill you. That's what I'll do. I'll kill you. Like I killed her!
Girl, it's all my fault. Persuading you to go after them. If anything happens to her, I'll never forgive myself.
Oh, stop it, Palmer. Stop anticipating the worst. Oh, here comes the doctor now.
Ah, Inspector Buckley.
I see you got my message. Is this one of your colleagues?
Yes, that's right. This is Mr. Palmer.
How do you do, Mr. Palmer? It's bad business, I'm afraid. Dead. Died on the way to hospital.
Oh, no. Millie. Poor, poor Millie, I warned her.
No, just a minute, Mr. Palmer. I was referring to the passenger. A police patrolman identified him as a Mr. Tapsell. There was nothing anyone could do.
What about the girl?
Multiple fractures. She's in a serious condition, but not desperately so. She'll recover in time. Oh,
thank heavens.
Yes, you asked that I come round as soon as possible.
Yes, she'd like to talk to you, or to someone. The last time you were here, Inspector, there was no point in waiting. She was unconscious. There's something very much on her mind. Her actual words were, I must talk to someone. The police, Bob, anyone.
I see. Can we go through now?
Yeah, please. I am in two minds about this. If I don't let her talk, she'll fret, and that won't help. On the other hand, please don't excite her in any way. Not more than a couple of minutes. This way. I've brought you some visitors, Miss Gurney.
Hello, Millie.
He tried to strangle me. He told me he'd kill me like he killed Star Reynolds. That's what I wanted. I wanted him to attack me. Bob, get the police. They can charge him with attempted murder. He got away with killing my sister, but he won't get away with this. You did know that, didn't you? You should know that Elizabeth, she called herself Star, was my sister. They must arrest him and punish him.
You can rest now, Millie. He's been punished already.
What do you know? What a story.
How is the girl?
She's fine. She'll have to stay in hospital for at least another month. There's fractured ribs, fractured pelvis. The X-ray shows no permanent damage. She'll be as right as rain when she comes out.
I still can't understand it.
Oh, it's clear enough. Apparently her father, Mr. Gurney, was a widower. He went out to the Indian Civil Service when the two sisters were still infants. And when he died, the elder sister, Elizabeth, returned to England, went into show business. Millicent lost track of her. It was only later, during the trial of Henry Tapsell, that she discovered that Star Reynolds was, in fact, Elizabeth Gurney.
You'd have thought she'd mentioned something to you or to me.
She went out of her way to excite Tapsell's interest. She heard me say that Tapsell was a psychopathic strangler. He strangled once, he'd do it again. And that's what gave her the idea. She took a terrible chance.
Yeah, you can say that again. He could have caught her unawares. Foolish girl. Didn't she realize the risk she was taking?
Yes, I think so. She made quite sure that they were never together in circumstances that might spoil her plan. She hoped to gather sufficient evidence to prefer a charge of attempted murder. That would have put him behind bars for a long time.
As it is, Millie succeeded better than she knew.
She did. Once she realized that the police were on their trail, she knew that she had to work fast to goad him into attacking her in the car with the police as witnesses. The car going over the side was more than she bargained for.
More than the killer bargained for, too. They had to find him not guilty, but a second trial wasn't necessary, after all. The murder of Star Reynolds has been revenged. I want a banner headline. Justice has been done.
Sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week then, a very good night to you all.